thing. Some science projects, some like science experiments and endeavors. That's been exciting. And most recently, I've gotten a surge of like repairs that have created new problems. So that's, I've been enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think anyone is short of failures.
No.
So it definitely seems like the type of endeavor or space or museum that would never run out of content, essentially. Oh, yeah.
There's always something more. That's been actually the problem, is now there's too many things. We're going to need a bigger museum.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I feel like when I think of failure and the ways in which, you know, you can sort of try to like interact with it and conquer it in a way that is more, that is healthier than just sort of wallowing in it, is considering the fact that a lot of times failure can be kind of funny.
Oh, 100%.
And yeah, I'm wondering if that is something that you considered when putting this together, just sort of like the humorous aspect of failure, not just other people's failures, but your own failures and things like that.
Oh, 100%. Even the creation of this, or like trying to do this project, I've failed so many times. And because it's the Museum of Failure, it's just instantly funny every time. For example, I don't do very well with computers. I'm not good with computers. But I got my dad to help me make a website. It's not up yet because my computer is too bad too. Load the website builder, but he like walked me through buying the domain. I bought it, and he was like, okay, I'll work on this separately, I'll let you know when it's ready. And he sends me a message like 45 minutes later being like, hey, did you mean to misspell the domain name? And I was like, no, I just can't type. So I misspelled museum in the domain name for the website.
And is that going to be what?
No, he fixed it. He fixed it, but okay. Well, he fixed it because I had already refixed an earlier failure. I'll explain more. There'll be a display at the museum of all the failures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know you said the location can't be disclosed. I'd imagine it'd be somewhere in the city of Vancouver, though.
Yeah, it'll be in East Vancouver.
Okay.
In a storefront.
Cool.
That'll be publicly accessible.
And when do you foresee that coming to fruition?
I'm hoping to open it on January 24th.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Specific date.
I've booked the space, so it will be on the 24th unless everything goes wrong, which it sometimes does.
Are, you know, these emails you're receiving, are you just receiving sort of the PDFs of these rejection letters, or have you started to receive like physical artifacts from people that document their failures?
I've gotten the offerings of the artifacts. When I first started the museum, I got one, a friend gave me one submission of a key that was bent in half. So that's my only physical item that I have so far from other people, but I have offerings of, yeah, physical artifacts. I just haven't gone and picked them up yet.
Have you gotten any other, like, sort of, I guess, media attention for this?
I spoke with a documentary filmmaker who reached out to me from Facebook, who is going to help me documenting some of the items. Not enough time to actually stick into anything else, but yeah, she's going to help me document. Lots of people have come out of the woodwork to, like, they can see my fallibility and ineptitudes, and so people are helping me with, like, offering to help me with, like, yeah, web development, or what other offers have I gotten? There's people offering to volunteer, but no other media. You're my first media. I was very excited.
Well, I'm honored.
It actually reminded me of a failure that
okay.
You reached out to me. I was, like, telling my friend, I was like, I'm going to go and be on the radio, and then I remembered that as a teenager, I went and did a movie review for a movie I did not understand on the radio, but I followed through. I like went, it was for a Morgan Spurlock documentary, the like political one, Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? I don't know.
It's
a political documentary. I went and watched it, did not understand the content. I was like 16, living in Calgary, and like didn't understand the political context, but I tried my best to give a movie review, and it was so bad that they did not air it.
Well, is that review gonna, do you have the copy of that review? Will that be included in the museum, you think?
I tried to find it online, but they didn't want my review, so.
Well,
disappointing. Just the anecdote that lives in my mind. And now on this radio.
Yes, exactly. I think one of the last questions I had for you just had to do with, you know, failure is something that as much as I think this museum is trying to embrace it and sort of make light of it in a sense, while also kind of honoring people's failures, it is something that is difficult for people to come to terms with. It's something that isn't easy for people to discuss, and it's something that can really, you know, rule people's lives in a sense, you know, whether it is failures occurring or just fear of failure. How do you feel like this project and you sort of embracing failure in the sense like has affected your life?
Good question. I would say that it has sort of it sort of transformed what a failure can mean more than like what a failure is. Like I think that it's okay to like look at something and say, I tried to do this and it didn't work. But what's sort of important is like, if something doesn't work, like what's next? Or like, what will you do with that? Like the thing about like a failure artifact that's kind of cool is like, if you put it in the museum, it's like the failure still exists, but now it's doing something else. Do you know what I mean? It's like the continuation of its life, and the continuation of its meaning. And it's kind of hokey, but like, I think the meaning is in the like sharing that with other people, evoking reach in our own subjectivity. But we can make contact through these like shared experiences of failure, shame, but also like a failure is like you tried to do something. It's an attempt. It's hope. It's, I don't know.
I thank you for that. I think that's really insightful, and I think kind of exemplifies like what this museum and what this project is about.
Thanks.
I think all I would have to ask is if you have anything else about this Museum of Failures that you would want our audience to know about that we haven't discussed.
Oh, sure. I'll just give my little like thing that I say to people when they are asking me about it, or like how to get more involved. If you can please send me an email to Lost and Found Museum. I'm not very good at organizing information, so that's a good spot where I can have everything kind of together and it won't get forgotten. I've made a little submission intake form, and I'll be taking submissions until December 14th, and then I'm gonna start curating and deciding what gets in there and what we have space for. And yeah, send me your failures. I like just want to talk to anyone about failure these days. It's so interesting.
Once again, that was our conversation with Avon Collins, the creator of the Museum of Personal Failure, which aims to open up next year in Vancouver on January 24th. This project is still receiving submissions of personal failure, and they can be submitted to lostandfoundmuseum@gmail.com. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Sure. Well, I only spent one day in Osaka, so maybe we can start.
Do you go through Kyoto to get to Osaka? Or
yeah, I stayed in Kyoto for, well,
1 week?
Yeah, about that. And then we did a day trip out to Osaka.
Actually, I did the opposite during my trip.
Mm-hmm.
So like one day in Kyoto and I think just 3 days in Osaka.
Yeah.
But
if I went back again, I would spend more time in Osaka. You know, there's lots of like shrines and sort of cultural stuff in Kyoto, whereas Osaka is more like food and shopping and yeah.
In Osaka, I just walk around the street too.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, it seems like they're more sharp, more their decoration than Tokyo street for sure.
Mm-hmm. I bought a really nice pair of jeans in Osaka. Japanese denim.
Are there any, have any kind of discount or cheaper in dining in Tokyo?
I don't know. It's about the same price. It's tax free, which, you know, gives you the 10%.
From what
discount or whatever. I can't remember the name of it. It was just like a little, I don't have my phone on me, so I can't look it up. But it was just like a little clothing shop off of a street in Osaka. My girlfriend bought some jeans from Momotaru, which is in Kyoto, as well. So,
I remember I visit some building called Barco. P-A-R-C-O. They have one in Tokyo and one in Osaka. And
there's one in Sendai when I went there as well.
Okay, so, and okay. They're just kind of famous shopping building.
Yeah, there's
like a mall, but it's more like a tower. Yeah,
yeah, and it's more specialized. Like the lower floors are all sort of like designer clothes and like the Chanel store and the Gucci store and all that. But then when you go up, there was like... yeah, like a Nintendo store and a Pokemon Center and what's it called? There was like a big Godzilla booth in one of them, and there was a shirt that I really wanted, but they only had it in like triple XL, so I didn't buy it. Bummer.
Well, I remember my family, we visit the Pokemon Center in both parks in Tokyo and Osaka.
Mm-hmm.
But they are always out of the seat, out of the reservation. Got to reserve like days ahead.
Yeah.
Like so famous that just always full of people there.
Yeah, it seems like that was a pretty common thing in Japan, that everything, you like all the sort of bigger tourist things, you do have to book in advance if you want to be able to do it. You can't just sort of show up and wait to get in necessarily.
I also saw the Godzilla theme store. Mm-hmm. And I was actually wanting to buy like a Godzilla apron.
Oh yeah.
An apron with Godzilla tail and spike and head on his look.
That's fun.
Kind of odd design. But my mom said no because I spent too much money. It's also like this Ultraman theme store. I'm sure you know Ultraman. They sell some kind of hat, Ultraman hat, that I also want to buy, but it's kind of overpriced for the just the design. They just have the printing on it and the some kind of blade horns that are iconic to some Ultraman.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs like $20 or $25 for a hat, and I feel like I can buy a hat with just more durable material with a cheaper price, so I skip on it.
Yeah,
I bought some kind of like Ultraman themed snack and some soft vine figures of the kaiju monster.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the, I think it was the Sendai Parco that we went into. They had a Shonen Jump store as well.
Yeah. Also the.
And I bought a Dragon Ball for one of my friends.
Okay.
Because he's big
Dragon
into
Ball fan, eh?
yeah, big into Dragon Ball. He bought me the first edition of the manga for my birthday a couple of years ago. So, and he has all of them, and he just moved into his new apartment and put all of his Dragon Ball manga on a shelf and put the ball right beside it. So.
Oh, was it their birthday just the last week?
Yeah, on Monday of last week. Yes.
Oh, happy birthday! I didn't
Thank
know.
You. Yeah, thanks.
No, but we didn't celebrate at all at the station.
No, it was fun drive. It was busy. A couple of people said happy birthday. That's enough for me. No big deal.
Okay. I mean, I could have help prepare something actually.
Well. That's on me. I didn't publicize it. I kept it close to the vest.
Well, I just remember that I after I bought some of the kaiju from Ultraman, then let's see. I just figured out that they sell it for much cheaper price, like 30% or 40% off in Big Camera.
Bummer.
This retail for. Technologies stuff,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a Japanese equivalent to Best Buy.
Yeah, we went to the Big Camera in Akihabara, just looking for a couple of things. I feel like we bought nail clippers there, honestly, because Japanese nail clippers are great. But we were looking for a phone case for my girlfriend, but they had very few phone cases for. She had the iPhone 16 Max. And Pro Max or something, and couldn't find any good phone cases. But.
Now that you remind me, I also saw some Dragon Balls and some robots, like Gundam and Evangelion mm-hmm. Phone case, theme phone case, with 3D effects and the makeup for metal and just
cool.
So premium, a lot of premium features.
Mm-hmm.
Cost like $100 for a case.
Yeah, once I saw the prices of some of the more intense cases, I was like, $100 for a phone case? Are you crazy? So we didn't buy any. My girlfriend ended up, she had just like a clear phone case, and she got a whole bunch of stickers that she got throughout our trip and just put them on the back of the phone case. So now it's like her own custom phone case that didn't cost $150 or
whatever. Yeah, because some of them have like wings and guns and just a pack. It's like making your phone turning into some kind of robot hybrid.
Yeah. How do you fit it in your pocket? I guess you don't.
They even have like a bigger case mm-hmm. for it. Like
a case like for your phone case?
Like a box.
Yeah.
Like a bag, like a strap bag
mm-hmm.
to put it inside. Yeah. And the bags have some kind of LED lights, the decoration you can set up, some kind of whatever digital picture you can upload from your phone, and it's gonna show up on the bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's very very intense.
Yeah. Too hardcore for me. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But if anyone who may be interested, they may should seek it out. It's good. Like very unique collectible.
Totally. Well, you have to run off to class because it's almost 2:20 here. Is there anything else you want to wrap up with before you go?
Maybe say a bit about Kyoto.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Kyoto. I thought it felt busier than Tokyo to me, like more tourists. But maybe that's just because it's a smaller city with lots of people. But I had a good time there. What stood out for you about Kyoto?
Well, I remember it's famous for castles, having mm-hmm. a lot of castles.
A lot of castles and shrines.
When I went to Kyoto, I took just the bullet train with my family,
mm-hmm.
and we got to walk a few distance to the castle. And they don't have much buses or trains that just go later to our destination. It's not as developed in the infrastructure, not as good as in Tokyo or Osaka.
Yeah, I think it depends where you're going, for sure. Like, we walked a lot too, but we were able to take trains to, like, we went to the Nintendo Museum, and that's a little bit outside of Kyoto, and it was super easy to get to.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, it depends where you're going, for sure.
the biggest location we went to was a film museum, the Toei Film Museum. I told you about this too. We have to cross a big road a little bit, and then walking through corners in a neighborhood was kind of hard too. And they don't have much trees there.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed for sure in Japan in general, in the cities, was like barely any trees. Like in parks there are trees, but like on the street there's no trees like here.
Yeah. My mom just also kind of surprised that the street and the housing seem kind of mundane, and in a way that they seem kind of small, and they pack with each other.
No yards. Everything's really, really close together and dense.
Yeah. It's just kind of way different from inside a city like Tokyo too.
Yeah.
It's more like out of the metropolis area.
Yeah.
And this is where they put the museum up ahead. We went inside and we saw this. First, we visit like this Super Sentai area. That's probably the biggest displays they have there.
Cool.
It's got all kind. It's just mannequins wearing suits from the Super Sentai series, which is the Japanese Power Rangers, Japanese version of Power Rangers. Power Rangers actually American adaptation from this Super Sentai series. They have 50 years long running of the franchise, and they make up a whole building to put the equipment, filming equipment, and suit and bikes and vehicles that appear in the show. It's just all eye candies for me. I'm a huge fan.
Totally.
There was also like a coffee themed coffee there. Not much people though. We came in on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
People were busy going to work. And some school come over there for like a field trip, but not much people. The hall's kind of empty. Because that's great too. Don't have to line up for anything.
Yeah, that's nice.
We have some kind of superhero themed curry too.
Nice.
They make the curry and using ketchup and vegetable as decoration to make like the face of the hero. Yeah. And outside of this building we saw like a whole just like a replica of the old Edo town.
Oh yeah.
Old ancient Japanese town that you can recognize it right away from historic movies about samurais and warlords about the war era of the old Japan.
Cool.
We passed to a lake, and there was even some kind of Nessie monster.
Oh, that's fun.
Crawling out too, and spray water from his mouth. My mom was taking a picture nearby and almost got wet.
That's funny.
Yeah. There were also staff dressing up as ninjas walking around this town to guide people to. Mm-hmm. And you can also take pictures with them.
Cool.
For free.
Nice.
And at the end, at some corner on, I think it's on the right end corner of the town, we saw life-size robots. It's called an Eva 01 from Evangelion anime. And this one you have to pay to take a picture. You get like three. Well, it depends on how many pictures you want them. They can print them out into physical photos for you. It's around $20 for three. And they also have anime exclusive filter put on the picture.
Yeah.
It's to look it more realistic. I my family got to get into the cockpit, and well, we bought a picture of my little brother and getting like some, they have some kind of hot air like from a hair dryer blow into your face when they took the picture to make you got some kind of like intense impression, just like character in the show when they have to pilot the robot to fight giant alien monster.
That's fun.
Yeah. It was so funny. I wish I got a picture. I should look it up or ask my mom to send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
They also give us like a card with a link that can lead to their website where they upload pictures of customer digitally, so you can download on the phones. So many, not that many actually. Just everybody who came to this museum took willing to pay like $20, mm-hmm. took pictures with this robot, and got kind of like they should make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Even though it's on Wednesday, about like 20 people took the picture, and there was some ice cream era and coffee, and they also sold some merch. Most popular would be a water bottle with the robot or Godzilla head sticking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so many people buy that too.
Yeah, and just imagine on a busy day.
But you know what? This toy film museum in Kyoto is so underrated. Not many travelers know about this place.
Totally. If I had known ahead of time, like when we were taking our train out of Kyoto up to Kinosaki, we went past, like the train went right past it, and I saw the Eva. Eva and some other things, and was like, oh cool, what's that? Oh, we should have done that. But it was on our way out of Kyoto that we discovered it. So next time.
I visited some castle in Kyoto, and they didn't really give me much of an impression, because I guess I'm Asian, and castle just seemed like pretty much similar with each other in every country.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like a Hindu style, or that is very specific style that you can recognize them everywhere.
Totally, and if you grew up around them, it's not as interesting or different. It is 2:27, so I don't know if you got to run, but we'll pick up this conversation another time.
All right, thank you.
Cool, thanks, man.
It's great to hear about your experience and about your trip.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks to Min for joining me in studio earlier to chat about Japan. You should go. It's cool and fun. This is Speak Up. I'm Jesse. Up next is Democracy Now! We've got a great slate of Thursday programming coming up. Stay tuned to CJSF all afternoon and evening. So many good shows. Check it out. Thanks for listening.